danger of my friend for even taking the call.
Well, I'm just so glad to hear from you. Always, I see where you introduced a good bill and got a lot of good co-sponsors on it. And I'm talking to a friend of yours here right this moment, Mr. Walter Reuther.
Oh, my God.
We're talking about...
to put the AFL and the UAW back together?
Well, I'd like to put them back together, but they have to go kind of like my two daughters. They got one of them's a blonde, one's a brunette, and they got different ideas about that, and so I'm not going to get in between them. I'm just... I love the labor movement. I want to help them, and Walter's for whatever we're doing here that's good. And he and I are talking, though, about Model Cities, how in God's world we can get through the House Appropriations Committee. Well, there's five things we're talking about. Civil rights. And we just, we got a uphill fight in that Senate, but we got to start with it because it's right. And then we got to get Model Cities out of that Appropriations Committee. We haven't got $400 million, but that's a nose under 10. If we can't get that, we can't get anything. And I funded every dime authorized by the bill you all passed last year. Then we got our rent supplements, and that's going to die a boring because they're after it. It doesn't amount to a handful of million. And then we got our teachers' corps, all of them. And then we got our poverty appropriation, where I've got $270 million for these ghettos, and it's new this year. It's over and above the regular appropriation. And I'm just trying to mobilize some support for those five key programs. I can get the rest. I'm not going to worry about Vietnam appropriations. I'm not going to worry about the authorizations there or the agriculture or the rest of them. If we can just concentrate and get our little group busy on civil rights, on rent supplements, on teachers' corps, on model cities, and I'd like them to help my children with my dental care and stuff like that for the little ones that are coming in. I've got an awfully good children's program. So I'm trying to get him to do that. He kind of gave me some indication he might help.
Well, he will. I can't speak for him, although at home they claim he speaks for me sometimes. But you tell him I know that what we're selling him tonight over there is good.
Good.
Sir, I'm trying to sell you one thing now, and I don't raise these, except few and far between. But this one means an awful lot in Michigan. I got to put it on a little broader base than that. There's an application that's hung up at the Power Commission under the title of the Great Lakes Gas Transmission Case. Great Lakes Gas Transmission Case. It involves the authorization to construct a natural gas line from Western Canada to Eastern Canada, using a shortcut route through the northern United States. Now, there are two reasons. The first is that if we do not approve this thing in time, Canada will go ahead with it themselves, and there will be some black eye among some of our Canadian neighbors thinking that we've sort of dumped something halfway. That's the high level argument, I guess, but the meat and potatoes one with me is that the benefits to the Midwest in getting this natural gas supply thing in would be enormous, and particularly would it be true in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, which is sort of our Appalachia. It would involve the expenditure of just better than $200 million in construction, about $120 million of which would be right in our Upper Michigan. I'm told that it's hung up on a technicality in the Power Commission, and that unless there can be some indication given to them that they'd better get it resolved, unless that resolution is fairly soon, and that means before spring, really, the Canadians are gone right ahead with it themselves, and I'm up there trying to explain why we stopped that line.
Let me be honest and candid with you. I wouldn't touch it with a 40-foot pole for this reason. I come from a big oil and gas state. When I came in the White House, I knew everybody wanted to destroy me sometime or other while I was here. And if I touched anything that was oil or gas, that they would say I was doing it for some motive, one way or the other. That'd make a difference what it was. So I just took an executive order and I put everything that involved any discretion at all over in Stuart Udall and told him I'd sign whatever they recommended. Now then, the Power Commission. Since I came to Congress in 48, I have refused to ever make a representation of any kind to them on any subject, oral, written, or any other way. When we had to appoint the men there, I looked over the best people we could find in the government. I went to all the complainants on the other side, and the folks that hear these things from both groups. And nearly everybody concluded that Lee White would be the best. He'd worked for Cooper of Kentucky a long time.
Oh, I know
and
Lee.
He had been here. So I called him in. He wanted to leave the government. I told him he had to do this, but I said, I'll never come to your office. I'll never make a call. I'll never write you a letter. I'll never ask you to do anything. If it ought to be done, you do it. If you can't do it, I know that you can't. Now, I don't know anything about the marriage, but if you're for it, I'm for it. Now, why don't you outline on a page paper what the problem is there, send it down here, and I'll tell Lee White to call for you and send you down there and talk to you. But I won't be in a position of making a recommendation to the commission one way or the other. If he can do it and would do it under any circumstances, he'd do it on the basis of what you said to him. If he can't, he wouldn't pay a damn bit of attention to me, I can tell you that.
I know why I believe that.
And I told him that, and I just don't want to break that rule because they're fighting in California, they're fighting in Boston, they're fighting every day, and I just don't want to get smeared or ruined or get a Harding deal or something because they say it. So I just religiously stayed away from it, and I can't do anything but be honest with you. If you'll send that down, mark it personal, send it to Juanita Roberts, and just say, here are the facts in this case, and here's why it is important. I will say, Lee, I do not pass on the merits. I told you I'd never make a recommendation. I'd never call you on the phone, and I'm not. I wish, though, that this man has done so much for consumer legislation and so much to help us in civil rights and so much to put through our program. If he's troubled about it, I'm troubled, and get him down there and try to satisfy him.
Sir, you're very kind. I understand completely. I'm grateful that you gave me the
I'll give you any time you want to, and I'm proud of you, and I said to Walter before you called me that you're just doing a hell of a job there for the people, and you're building your record that'll last a long, long time, my friend, and I thank you for what you did in that civil rights message. I thank you for what you're doing in the consumer field, and I'm just glad we got a few like you. Wish I had 67 like you so I could get closer.
Well, if I die in the next 5 minutes, I'll die happy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
I loved you. Bye.